Welcome to the NorCal Real Estate Show, where we're talking all things real estate in YOLO, Sacramento, and Solano counties. My name is Jeremy Higgins. I'm the founder of the Higgins team at eXp Realty, and I'm here with the one and only
Andrew Lojewski.
Common spelling. And we're here at the Darling New Media Studios in Sacramento, California, and we have our wonderful producer.
Hey guys, it's Nate.
Nate, what's going on, buddy?
Another beautiful Tuesday in Northern California.
That's it. And today is a special episode because we have a very special guest with us, Haiti.
Correct.
How do you pronounce your last name, Haiti?
Frederick.
Yes, that's also common spelling, folks. Also common spelling. So Haiti is a certified stager. She is on the Higgins team. She's a bit unique than most because not only is she a certified stager, but she's also a realtor. So she's going to bring some wonderful perspective about staging and the value that it brings and all that good stuff. And we were just talking before the episode how the Higgins team is made up with some interesting names because we've got an Andrew Lojewski with an F, even though there's no F in his name. I don't know, but it's pronounced with an F, right?
Yeah, Lojewski, but it's pronounced Lojewski.
Makes no sense to me, but we love him on the team. And Haiti, how do you spell your first name?
Haiti.
No, exactly. Written,
you know, Heidi. But Haiti.
Haiti.
And no, it's not Katie.
No, it's not Katie. It's Haiti. And my name is Jeremy, J-E-R-E-M-Y. But on my birth certificate, it's J-E-A-R-M-E.
Jeremy.
And then to throw in one more thing, we have another team member not with us today. And her name is Eben, spelled Ivan. So we got an interesting team here. So today we are going to be talking about staging, the value that it brings when you sell your home. But before we go in there, before we jump into that, we're going to talk about our tip of the day. Andrew, what's our tip of the day?
Tip of the day, refinancing. So over the last 12 months or so, interest rates have been rock bottom. We're probably in the mid 2.5% to almost 3% on refinance rates. So if you purchased, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, your interest rate was probably in the 4 to 5% range. Now would be a good time to contact a local lender and see if they can bring that interest rate down for you.
So the other cool thing about this is many of you, or some of you, maybe not many, but some of you, when you originally purchased your home, you may have put less than 20% down on your house. And therefore you have that wonderful thing that we call mortgage insurance. We all know what mortgage insurance is. So Andrew, if somebody purchased their home a year ago and put, say, 10% down, they probably have mortgage insurance. And what might happen if they were to refinance today?
Well, your house has gained some appreciation, so you can do a refinance. You could pull some money out if you wanted to. And you've gained equity, which means you have the option to drop that mortgage insurance off. And mortgage insurance kind of dependent on price point or how big your loan is, but anywhere from 50 to, in some cases, a couple $100 a month.
Yeah, no
doubt. And that's just money that you're burning. It's not going towards principal. It's just a penalty that you're paying.
Yeah, so as you know, we've had double-digit appreciation. So if you put a 10% down payment down a year ago, it's very possible that you now have enough equity in your home that you could refinance and get rid of that nasty mortgage insurance.
Waste of money.
A couple $100 goes nowhere. All right, on to our main topic, staging. And again, we have our wonderful guest, Haiti. Thanks for joining us today, Haiti.
You're welcome.
So you're a certified stager, is that right?
Yes.
How long have you been a stager?
A little over 2 years.
A little over 2 years. And you're also a real estate agent, that's right?
Yes.
And you're working with us at the Higgins team, primarily YOLO, Solano. It's Sacramento?
Yep. Sacramento, YOLO, Solano. That's it. Yeah.
Cool. What got you into staging?
I love design. I love to shop. So it was just a perfect combination, I guess. But reality, how it happened was me trying to sell a listing. And it's my mother-in-law's listing. Wouldn't sell. Just sat. And decided like, hey, we need to stage this. I want to do it for you. And I did. And it sold before it really hit the market. Someone came and looked at it when it was just staged and got an offer, accepted, and off we went.
Can I interrupt real quick? What is staging? What does a home stager do?
Okay, good question. Staging is making the house look at its best. So in essence, what we do, we take the house and we look at the positive features and we look at the negative. And what you want to do is you want to emphasize the positive and take the attention away from the negative. So you want to present a house in the best way possible.
So you want to make it look like a model home?
No. Preferably not.
Why is that?
Well, you still want to give someone the feeling when they walk in that they're home. You do not want to have people walk in a house where they feel like, oh my gosh, I can't touch anything.
Because it's too perfect?
Exactly. So, I mean, every stager has their own style, obviously, but I truly believe I want to have a person walk in a house and feel comfortable, like, oh, I could just move in here. Let's just get my suitcases and I'll just move in with my clothes and everything and I'm good. Mm-hmm. I want them to walk in and feel like, oh, I want to linger around. I want to have a place to sit down. If it looks too perfect, people are afraid to touch anything or they feel not comfortable. And the last thing you want when you're selling a home is when a buyer comes in and feels uncomfortable. You don't want that.
Andrew, when do we know when a buyer, I guess this question goes to both of you because you're both selling houses representing buyers, but I know when a buyer is going to decide to write an offer. And what is one of the telltale signs of a buyer deciding that they want to write an offer?
So coming from a non-professional stager point of view, probably the biggest two telltale signs for me is that they hang around the house for a long time. They keep walking around and they keep talking. And when you really know they love it is when they go and they sit down in the living room
Bingo. On
the staging furniture and just start having a conversation, you know, with you talking about the house. And they're just legs crossed sitting on the couch, yep, feeling like they're right at home.
That's what we want.
So if the staging's too perfect and it feels like an art piece, then the buyer's not likely going to sit down on that couch. But the moment that a buyer sits down on a couch, I'm like,
That's it. That's it. And to touch on something that Andrew said, so when you not stage a house, when it's vacant, a lot of the times a house comes across as more distressed, like colder, uncomfortable.
Echoey.
Yes. So there are some surveys that have basically come out with a number, right? So people, when they walk in a staged home, versus a non-staged home. A non-staged home, they take about 5 minutes and they're gone again. They linger for 40 minutes in a house that's staged. And as you said, the longer they linger, the more they like it, the more they're going to want to write an offer. The other interesting thing is you could always say like, well, you know, if it's empty, they can envision, right? They can kind of, oh, I think this will go here and this will go there. Actually, more than 80% of the buyers has a much easier time to envision things when there is already furniture in there. When it's completely empty, a lot of people have problems with envisioning what it's going to look like. But if there is a couch there, you can think like, oh, maybe I'll put the couch there or there. When there's nothing, it's a lot harder.
I agree with that. In fact, I was showing homes, I don't know, probably 2 years ago when this really kind of, it really struck me, but I was showing a young couple, first time home buyers. We were looking at homes in Natomas and I was just pulling up homes that, you know, met their criteria, met the price point, bedrooms, all that good stuff. And it was a competitive market back then as well. And so I remember we had to write two or three offers before they got the house that they actually got accepted. But at some point, during all of those showings, after the second or third offer that they had written, they made the comment. They said, you know, Jeremy, it's interesting, but every single house that we've chosen to write an offer on was staged. And I thought, you know what? You're so right. You're so right. And it's so true. Like it's just when you walk into a home and it's not staged, it's just difficult for people to envision what a house is going to look like. It just doesn't feel comfy and, you know, warm and all that good stuff. And I mean, at the end of the day, buying a home is a very emotional thing. We've said that before. And so if we can make a buyer feel comfortable and take some of the nerves out and have them sit down on a couch and just relax for a second, take a breath, let's talk about it. It just goes a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Buying a house is an emotional decision at first. So, and there's a lot of research, right? When you're into staging that you know, you have access to, where they also say that, well, photos is where it starts in this market, right? So it's not enough to just stage the house. You need to make your photos look amazing. How do you look? How do you make a photo look amazing if it's an empty room? What are you going to do?
Yeah. Have you guys seen some of those weird photographs where they like somebody puts like a plant in the corner
and they like, zoom in on it. I know. That's the showcase of the whole house right there, a plant in the corner of the room.
Same orchid that seems to have traveled to all these empty rooms, the same pink
that is
orchid.
So true. I can't tell you how many times I've seen that. That's crazy. So that's, you bring up an interesting point though. You're talking about, the photographs and, as a stager, Do you go into it with a slightly different mindset as far as staging a home for photographs versus staging a home for somebody to see it in person?
The principle is the same. It's just sometimes on a photo, things don't come across the same as when you walk in. So it's kind of, it's a balance between the two because you want to make those photos look amazing. 95% of the buyers these days selects their home on a photo first. And then they decide if they really like the photo, I want to go and see it in person. Now, the key is also when they go and see it in person, you don't want to disappoint them, right? So it's got to look amazing when you walk in.
Yeah.
What sometimes happens, depending on the space, because every house is different. So depending on the staging that you do, I may change a few things for a photo. I mean, a pillow may look a bit different or a different position, how the light reflects, the coloring of accessories, stuff like that, or a plant moves around. It's possible. not the same pink orchid that you put in of your room though, but because you really want to draw the attention with the photos to start off with, but you're not going to change things drastically. It's just sometimes more the positioning of something.
Because you don't want to shock a buyer when they come in, right?
Like, yeah, where they feel like, well, that's not the same house I saw online.
Yeah, and then it kind of distracts them from what we want them to be focused on, which is the home. They start thinking about, this isn't what I thought it was going to be, that kind of stuff. But at the same time, photographs can be very picky. Like colors need to be balanced. And so I would say, in my experience, there have been a lot of sellers who, you know, I think they've got great style. Their house looks great. And so they don't feel like staging is really necessary. Bringing in a, you know, professional stager is not really necessary because, hey, my house looks beautiful. Everyone tells me my house looks beautiful. And yet as a stager and somebody that has a slightly different focal point on things, I would imagine that you take the photographs into account first. Mm-hmm. And so you're staging it. So these, cause you kind of have a better idea of what the camera angle is probably going to be. You're working with photographers all the time.
So, yes.
You kind of build up a little teamwork between the photographer, I would imagine. So you're kind of staging it that way. And then after the photographer leaves, maybe things get readjusted just a little bit.
Here and there.
So having somebody that is familiar with photography and how it relates to housing is important. Yeah.
Yes, very much.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier about focal points and pulling focal points or pulling somebody's focal point away from a negative, drawing somebody's focal point to a positive. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Okay, so a focal point could be anything, really. It's the thing that draws the attention in the room. It also is usually the thing that explains the purpose of the room, because that is a big thing in staging too, where you stage a room, but you have to make it clear what the function is of that room. So in a bedroom, the focal point is going to be the bed. In a bathroom, if you have a beautiful bathtub, that's going to be your focal point. When you go into a living room, most often that would be something like a fireplace. What you want to do is you want to balance the furniture around that focal point. The focal point often is also like the more spectacular thing in that room. So a view could be a focal point. What you're going to want to do when you have a view as a focal point, because that's great, you want to balance your furniture around it so that the attention when somebody walks in, their eyes just get pulled towards that focal point.
You know, I'm going to interrupt right there because I think we have an incredible example of that. So Andrew has a home listed now, and the house itself is, it's not a bad house. It's, you know, it's in a pretty conforming neighborhood, you know, one of those mass builders. So there's probably six or seven different floor plans, but the homes have pretty similar feel and look to them. So it's really hard sometimes to distinguish or to make your house stand out amongst others when they're all kind of the same. But this particular house sits up or sits on a canal, a large canal. So it's like a body of water that's running through the back of the home. And then it's got a clear fence. So when you're in the house, you can see through the backyard and then you see this water feature and it's really cool. And in our particular instance, they haven't done anything with the backyard. Right now, it's just like a foot of weeds, right? And so when it comes to staging, we're not just talking about furniture, right? We're talking about
the whole thing,
the whole kit and caboodle. Is that what you call it?
Kit and caboodle.
Kit and caboodle. So in this instance, Andrew made the suggestion. Sorry, I'm taking
go for it.
Taking the show from here, but Andrew made the suggestion to the seller that, you know, we really should do something with this backyard because it was the water feature was obviously awesome, but I think even more important to that, it was taking people's attention. It was taking our attention away from the house itself. Because the moment you walk in the front door, the first thing that somebody's eye went to or
the focal point, back to what you said earlier, focal point. The focal point when you walked into that house was the dirt barren backyard right outside the kitchen. And you couldn't not just stare at it.
Yeah. So, I mean, staging is usually, it's generally pretty, I would say pretty reasonably priced. It's inexpensive and we can actually talk about that. But in this instance, I think it's going to be like $6,000 to $8,000 to get that backyard done. Do you think it would be worth it for a seller to invest $6,000 to $8,000 to landscape a backyard so that unfinished backyard isn't the focal point?
Definitely.
It would be worth it. You think there would be a great return to that?
Most definitely.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of times it's case by case, right? It just happens to be that this particular backyard, it has a slatted metal fence, a really nice one with a great water view. And in that case, it's even more important to have a great looking functional backyard. Cause when we go to do aerial photos and stuff, it's all going to get tied in. Right. And that's really going to be the selling point on this particular house.
And I've seen that house. Cause I was, you know, helping with the staging there.
You staged it. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I helped. We both felt when we walked in and I remember us going to the back of the house, you know, to that kitchen window and kind of looking out and we both said, isn't that a shame? No matter what you do inside, how are we going to do this?
Yeah, that was like one of those impossible. I mean, we can work some magic, but there's only so much magic in a bag.
There's exactly.
Yeah. So as it relates to staging, what do you think is the, and maybe you can't answer this totally, but what's the most important aspect of staging?
There are a lot of things. It's hard to pick one. I mean, one of the things too that we found is that buyers are more, how do you say that? They more easily look over some flaws of the house if it's staged. If it's not staged, that flaw becomes something bigger.
Yeah, we talked about that with the house in Woodland, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. It was, what house was it? Roman Court, Magical Roman Court. I think with that house, we did a really great job staging it. And it was really about trying to not enhance the bad looking parts of the house, right? And yeah. You'd be really surprised at how much furniture and floor coverings like rugs and stuff like that can cover up the bad looking areas. And you would never notice them when your house is fully furnished.
Yeah. I don't know if like cover up, I understand where you're going with that. It's not that we're
We're not like, trying to hide anything.
It's not right? like we're literally covering stuff up, but that house was complete original condition from the late 90s, white tile that was cracked, carpeting that had been in there for quite some time as a rental, that, you know, really low grade linoleum, that kind of stuff. And it just didn't pop. It wasn't necessarily a dirty house, but it kind of felt dirty. And so it's sad to say this, but I think there's a lot of truth to it. Sometimes staging isn't about just making a house look beautiful. Sometimes it's about making a house look not bad.
Yes, yeah. It happens too.
So what's the most important moment for a buyer when they show up to a house?
Believe it or not, but the first 5 seconds, curb appeal, front door. I always tell clients, the curb appeal is key. It has to draw them in. If you don't have the funds to do anything, please paint your front door, unless it's already a good color, but freshen that up, put a nice plant outside, but make it feel welcoming.
Yeah. So staging goes beyond just furniture and accent pieces. And
yeah.
So you do focus a lot on the front yard landscaping.
Landscaping, front yard, color choices. You do not want a mismatch of all different colors. That just doesn't work. Same thing for the inside. We often, if work is being done, we often give advice for colors. You kind of touched on this earlier too, where somebody might say, well, I always get compliments about how my house looks when I have people over. I don't need to stage this. Well, but you live in it. Your decorations are your decorations. They're personal. And yeah, they may be nice, but they're still a reflection of your personality. You do not want to impose, is maybe not the right term to use, but you want to keep your house fresh and neutral. So staging, it's not just decorating. We make the house look comfortable and welcoming, fresh, clean, but also to appeal to a variety of buyers. So that neutrality is a very important thing. When you're living in that house, you don't have that. That's why a stager, if we would have to stage our own house, it's very difficult to do because I have an emotional attachment to my house.
Mm-hmm. I think you bring up a great point. I think when we're living in homes, we're decorating a house to our taste and maybe to our friends and family. We tend to, birds of a feather tend to flock together. So, you know, if you're, you know, some 80s rock band type fan and you hang out with a bunch of 80s rock fans, then you're probably going to have some Aerosmith stuff hanging up on your, in your house and stuff. But from a stager standpoint, you just said it's, I think it's fair to say that you're staging for the masses, because we know that the more people who are drawn to the home, meaning they see the photos and they say, this is worth seeing, the more people that are drawn to the home and see the home, the more offers you get. And definitely, the more offers you get is what you use to negotiate up to the highest possible price. So I think that neutrality is an important thing. I think there's a lot of folks that we run into who, you know, they feel like this is their special room. And we've seen that with folks that have kind of changed spaces. Like maybe it's supposed to be a dining area and they turn it into a recording studio. And they think the recording studio is super awesome. Well, it is a super awesome recording studio. Darling New Media Studios is an awesome studio, but I don't think this would look good in somebody's dining room.
Nope. Right?
Exactly. I disagree.
Well, of course you do. And that's why you would be one of those nightmare sellers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the key that you guys keep sort of dancing around is don't fall in love with your own stuff and assume that everyone else will.
That's an awesome point there. And that, that kind of leads into another comment that I was going to make, and that, I, as a real estate agent, am really good at being a real estate agent, but I'm not the expert when it comes to staging. And so I rely on folks like you, Haiti, to come in and give that advice, right? So I think it's important for people to stay in their lane. You're a homeowner. You focus on being the homeowner.
Yes.
I'm the real estate agent. I'll focus on getting you the highest possible price and netting you the most money. And then Haiti sometimes is wearing both hats, but if she's working on one of my transactions and she'll tends to be more of this, the stager angle there, your focus is going to be on staging.
Yes.
Right. So stay in your lane. So what are some ways that, that you can pull focal points out?
Well, sometimes we have to create them ourselves. If the obvious focal point in the room is not really a good focal point and you do not want to emphasize it, then you have to create a new one to draw that attention away. You can pick an accent wall. You can put some sort of furniture in front of it. I mean, a bright accessory, something like that. Other times you're going to want to emphasize the focal point. So you just want to have that come out where it becomes a feature of the house. Like a view is great. It's often a fireplace or could be anything. It just has to go with the purpose of the room. That's the big thing. Don't make a focal point into something that is not supposed to be there.
Yeah, I would agree. So you've mentioned a few times, like you've mentioned landscaping. Now you just mentioned painting a wall. So I think most people, when they hear stager, they just think that somebody's going to come in and bring a bunch of furniture and maybe some accent pieces and that kind of stuff. But that doesn't sound like that's the case.
No, we do more than that. We give advice on what they can do to make the curb appeal better. I have a client who had two blue bedrooms and they were blue. So was that bad? No, personal taste. But what's going to happen, some people are going to walk in and they're going to look at that blue and go like, well, okay, we have to repaint this room. This is going to cost us X amount of dollars. Okay, they make a mental note of that. One of the other things in the house there was some linoleum in the kitchen, and the rest was a single story home. The rest was carpet that had some stains on it. It was, 15 years old. So we recommended where he had the original plan of just doing the kitchen floor and not do anything else. After talking with him, we recommended you really need to do the whole floor. The difference in price isn't going to be that much. Just do everything as one color, one floor, and repaint everything in the same color. We advise on the color. And when I asked him afterwards, after everything was done and staged, and we had over 100 people in the open house, and they were not neighbor people looking. These were people that were interested in the house. We had almost 20 offers, 19 offers on it. And I asked him, so what did you, because the staging was so different from his personal taste. And he's like, well, he said, I walked in and I couldn't believe it. It felt so open, so fresh. He said, it was like somebody living here, who's much fancier than I am. He said, it was great. So it just shows how much difference a house, a staging can make. The other thing that I always touch on with clients when they feel like, well, my house doesn't need it, or when they touch on price, because I do have my staging company apart from our team. So, where you charge a staging fee, most sellers are perfectly fine with doing a price drop if the house sits for a few weeks, right? $5,000, $10,000, they don't bat an eyelash. Well, what if you stage it from the first time? Because those first few days when a listing hits the market, those are key, right? That's when you need to draw the people in. And if you're going to say, well, let's just see for the first few months and then, we can stage it afterwards, you've missed that. You can never get that back. And then they drop $5,000 or $10,000 in price, staging would have cost you way less than that.
So what do you think staging... Not what do you think, but
can I just jump in real quick right here? Because I think Haiti made a really great point there, and I didn't want to pass it by. When you stage at the beginning, people are going to see your house. If they see it before it's staged, they're probably not coming back. If it hasn't sold in a few months, you're not going to get a second chance with those buyers. So you're letting potential buyers just slip by if you miss that chance.
Yes. Yeah, they won't come back.
Yeah. I mean, we've monitored that time and time again. Andrea, you and I were talking about that today, where there was a house that we were using as a comp that, mm-hmm. It came back on the market and then it ended up only getting like two offers, which is,
yeah, you gotta, when you put a house on the market, you want to put your best foot forward off the get go. Because that's when you're going to have the most interest, you know, generated, right? The most buzz. You see houses that go on the market, they accept an offer, but the buyer ends up backing out. When that seller goes back on the market a second time, that level of interest is dropped by probably 75%, right? It'll get 10 offers that first time, and the second time around, it'll get like maybe two. And same thing with staging, right? You go, you put a house up that's not staged, and then you don't get any interest, and you go, okay, well, we're going to, you know, spruce it up a little bit. Well, guess what? Everyone's already seen it at its worst. You know, it's too late now. No one's coming back.
Yeah.
So in our next episode, next week's episode, Andrew and I are going to be breaking down work that, should you put work into a house? Should you spend money to prep a house for sale and that kind of stuff? So I don't want to steal that thunder there. But I think it's important for folks to know, like, what does staging entail? Like, how much is it going to cost? What's the time? What's the money? What's the effort? That kind of stuff.
Okay. So the percentage, like ROI on staging kind of varies. There are studies that say it's over 300%. There are studies that say it's close to 600%.
It's infinite with the Higgins team, right?
Why is that?
Because our staging's included.
Silly. Bingo.
Okay, bingo. Sorry. Just had to throw that little plug in there.
You had to put that in there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
we get it. So what is it going to cost? It's, like you said, it's included with us, but a normal price is $1,500 and up. There's stagings that cost $10,000, $20,000, $30,000.
Yeah, when I watch Millionaire,
yes,
or what, Million Dollar Listing in New York, it's like $40,000, $50,000, man.
Yeah, Jeremy, you're behind. It's Selling Sunset now.
Oh, yeah,
Selling Whatever Sunset. Whatever it is. But yeah. Either way, a 3 or 600% increase in your return, right? Like if you told anyone their investment would bring it back 300%, that's a no-brainer.
It's like guaranteed. I mean, if I would have to use one sentence, what does a stager do? It's like, I'm going to make sure you get the highest profit in the shortest amount of time.
Let's throw out some stats. So you said 3 to 600% return on the investment. So if you spend $2,000, you're going to get anywhere from 6 to 12,000, is that right? Is that the math?
Yeah.
But there's some other stats. Timing, how quickly homes sell. I realize that in this market, homes sell pretty quickly, but.
It's a bit of a different market now, but the latest that I had was, I believe it was 2018, and 67% faster when it's staged versus non-staged.
Yeah, I would agree. And we're not going to be in this market forever.
No. And the thing, even in this market where people get the feeling like, oh, it's going to sell anyway, right? Well, yes. I mean, the listing that I had and that I staged, because I did both on that, it would have sold. Would it have sold for the amount that we finally went into contract and so much over asking price? No.
So I know every stager has their own style, their own policies and that kind of stuff. But when we do watch a lot of those million-dollar listings or Selling Sunset, or there's a new one that I like. It's called Impossible Listing. A lot of times those folks are having to move all of their furniture out. They're having to move out of the house, and then the stager comes in and stages around. But that's not always the case, is it?
No. There's occupied staging too, where we walk in and we advise the seller, okay, do this, do that, take care of this, take care of that, and then we'll do the rest. And that could be bringing in some pieces of furniture. That could be bringing in a rug, some bedding. I mean, it could be anything. So we kind of supplement, but we also make them do changes. And most of the time people they understand that they like have to declutter. They understand that piece that they think is so amazing doesn't quite work. I mean, I had a great example. One of my friends had her house listed and totally forgot I was a realtor. You know, that happens, right? So anyway, the house was sitting and for about a month. And somehow it came up in the conversation. It's like, well, I can help you with the staging. So we went ahead and staged it. They lived in it, so we worked around it, but I took most of her furniture out. She had these amazing, like, historical pieces from her grandparents. I mean, beautiful piano, beautiful desk, just amazing, but it was very dark wood. And the house was kind of a little dark because of the location. We brightened it up. I mean, she was at that point, they weren't getting any showings anymore. She was like, I don't know what to do because we're in contract on another house. I need to get this sold. So brought in the staging. The next day went on the market. She had several showings. She had an offer in less than a week. And it had been sitting for 7 or 8 weeks when we staged it.
Yeah.
That's the difference sometimes. Yeah.
That's kind of our specialty, right? Like moving into houses that haven't sold, especially in this market. If your house isn't selling in this market, then there's some serious problems. And I think there's some things that we can go in and do. There's three main ways of staging a home, or I guess three options that you have. They all entail different amounts of commitment and money. And some of them, so the first one would be just a consult only.
Yes.
So this is our pot smoking option, right? So if you're a pot smoker, cigarette smoker, something like that, we're probably not going to want to bring all of our own furniture in there and let our furniture get all that nasty smell in it. So in a situation like that, and you know, you're free to do that all you want, but you're not going to get our furniture, right?
No. Nope.
So in that instance, we would walk in there and you would give them a consult of sorts. You would tell them, move this piece here, take that piece out, add something here, something like that. So that's generally going to be the easiest, least expensive, least time consuming.
Yes.
Then the second option would be occupied staging. That would be us going in, asking them to, or advising them to remove a few pieces here and there. We would bring in some pieces to fill those spots. Maybe they have a cat that scratched one of their couches and made it look kind of rough. And so we just move a couch out. We'll move a couch in, and then we'll bring some accent pieces in. We'll balance the colors. We'll bring some depth to the room, that kind of stuff. And then the third option would be a full stage, which would be removing all of the furniture and starting from scratch.
Yes.
And if it's an occupied home, if people are living in it, then, we've got a balance between you living your life and selling your home. And so in those instances, we're generally going to do the partial stage where we're going to come in and use our stuff. And we're going to try to bring stuff that's livable. So you can sit in the couch, that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, definitely.
Is there a preference of which option you like?
Personally, the vacant stage, because it's a blank canvas. You can really play with the space and bring out its best features. When there are things in that you have to work with, it becomes more difficult to create that like a uniform look. Because there's stuff that you have as a stager that you work with, but then there's some things from the owner that you have to make work together. And that's not always easy. Where if you have a vacant stage, nobody has to worry about anything being damaged. That's a big one too. But you can really do what you think is best for that room. There are no limits at that point.
So do you think it's worth it for people to like up and move out of the house in order to stage it? I mean, how would we decide that?
It's something I recommend. It's just not always feasible for people. But if you can do it, or if you are in the position that you can put the house on the market like right after you move out, that's definitely a plus. Yes, I would recommend that. But some people can't. And then you just have to work with what you have. Is it ideal? No. But it still will get you a lot of benefit from, even if it's a partial staging.
Sure. I would agree with that. I mean, the nice thing about a market like today is that you can move out and your house is just going to continue to appreciate while it's vacant. So you're not really going to lose any money. You're probably actually going to earn some more money. And that you'd have to listen to our previous episode to kind of figure that out. Anything else that we're missing with staging?
Just got to do it.
Got to get
just
it done.
Just got to do it.
Don't hesitate. Just do it.
It's amazing how well it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a seller consultation later today. The sellers, they can't move out of the house until they sell. So they can't move on and get all their stuff out, but we're having to arrange, pods and storage to get their stuff out so that we can bring our stager in and, complement the furniture they have and still make the house functional, you know, because they have to live there for the next, you know, month or two, but still make it look amazing and show ready and get it on the market. So,
yeah, I think at the end of the day, you do your best with what you've got, right? If you got the means to do it, then do it to full stage. But if not, then, you know, we do what we got to do.
We do what we can.
And that kind of segues into our next episode, which is going to be about fixing up your home. What should you put any money into a house? So staging, but also the landscaping that we talked about. Should we remodel kitchens, bathrooms, put flooring and all that kind of stuff? So that's going to be our next episode. We're going to talk about, is it worth it? I mean, we're in a crazy market right now. Houses are selling for massive amounts of money. Why in the world would anyone want to do any fix-ups? Well, you know, sometimes you don't, but many times you do. So tune in next week and we will talk all about it. We'll break it down. Take care. Peace.